right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Don't forget, at 10 o'clock tonight, Malibu Dan is coming in. He's the monkey. Sam Simon's coming in. He's the producer. He's the money guy. Right. We're going to play Stump the Monkey for an hour. It's always a great hour.
Yep.
And I wish he was on videotape, because you can't believe the looks that Sam Simon gives Malibu Dan when he gets those answers, those simple questions wrong.
And oftentimes, you can't believe the look on the face of Malibu Dan when you throw the question his way.
Yes. All right, it's 9 o'clock. That must be News with Robin, everybody.
Now,
C-74.
Live from high atop the Miracle Mile, here's Robin with the news. Yeah.
Oh, Robin, man. What's in the news there, baby?
Well, it was quite the jam-packed weekend, as you can probably imagine. First, let's just get this one out of the way. I know we've been talking about it. It's very exciting. Federal prosecutors have unsealed the affidavit, as you know, that details a rendezvous in a Washington hotel room last month between a prostitute and client Elliot Spitzer.
Timmy, you can drink that now?
That sounded very refreshing.
I'm sorry.
Dude.
Just popped open a Heineken. Sorry, man. I don't know what I was thinking. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Apologize.
I'm sorry, Robin. Go ahead.
Thank you. His alleged involvement with the ring was caught on a federal wiretap, and the Republican Governors Association called on Spitzer to resign to, quote, allow the people of New York to pursue some honest leadership.
Wow.
And here's audio of New Jersey governors speaking to these allegations. S-145.
All right, here we go. Lots of confusion back east.
Over the past 9 years, 8 years as Attorney General, and one as governor, I've tried to uphold a vision of progressive politics that would rebuild New York and create opportunity for all.
Nice try.
We sought to bring real change to New York, and that will continue. Today, I want to briefly address a private matter. I have acted in a way that violates my obligations to my family, and that violates my or any sense of right and wrong.
Good for you.
I apologize first and most importantly
to my
family.
To my wife.
I apologize to the public, whom I promised better. I do not believe that politics in the long run is about individuals. It is about ideas, the public good, and doing what is best for the state of New York. But I have disappointed and failed to live up to the standard I expected of myself. I must now dedicate some time to regain the trust of my family. I will not be taking questions. Thank you very much. I will report back to you in short order. Thank you very much.
My daughter's very disappointed.
Was his cell phone vibrating during that?
I don't know.
Did you hear that? Yeah, my phone's in the car.
Yeah, there was definitely a distraction of some sort.
Yeah, I think that...
I think it was mine.
No, yours rings. This was vibrating. Maybe Kristen was trying to get to client nine there while he was giving his little speech.
Do you think Kristen will turn out to be hotter than Monica Lewinsky?
Yes.
You think so?
I certainly hope so for $5,000. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I certainly hope.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, a presidential hopeful.
She'll walk out of here. Keep that up, man.
Let's go ahead.
She's pissed.
What? I'm just imitating her.
She's in her period.
May I continue?
Yes, Robin.
Presidential hopeful John McCain became a bit uneasy when CNN's Scott Pelley asked him when the public could expect to see his health records. And we have some audio of his response.
All right.
M-155.
All right, M-155, McCain's health records.
How's your health?
It's excellent. It's excellent. Excellent. Thank you. And we'll be doing the medical records thing with the media sometime in the next month or two.
There has been some criticism that you have not released your medical records. Mm-hmm. You're saying in this interview that you're about to do that.
All right. We'll do it in the next month or so. Yeah.
Is it fair to say that at this point in time, there's no sign of a recurrence of cancer?
No, there's none.
There you go.
All right.
Healthy as hell.
Yeah, because he has that. If people see Senator McCain and they notice on the left, the left side of his face, the right when you're looking at him, there's a large scar. That was from melanoma.
Yeah.
Or some sort of skin cancer.
We got a black guy, a white woman, and a guy with his face falling off.
Well, we have very diverse candidates. That's what makes America great.
All right.
And a Vietnam veteran.
There you go. All right, anything else in the news, Robin?
Yes. Well, former President Bill Clinton gave a speech in Mississippi recently, speaking about his wife's vast experience in Mississippi and Arkansas. And we have a little audio of Bill showing his support to his wife. B-177.
Here we go. Bill Clinton around again.
She gets you better than anybody else running. I mean, she gets you in a specific and in a general way.
What?
I mean, when I was the governor of Arkansas, she led our school reform program. And she did a lot of work on preschool education for kids in the Delta. And she worked a lot when I was head of the Mississippi Delta Development Commission. I worked in Mississippi. She knows about that.
Jesus Christ.
She started America's first rural development bank when I was governor. Not me, her. She raised the money for it, set it up so people losing factory jobs and farm jobs could get credit to start anew. There is now a branch of that bank in Mississippi.
That's right.
It is still going on. When Jesus she ran Christ. In the Democratic presidential primary in Arkansas, she got 70% of the vote because they knew she was on their side.
Wait a minute. What's his name again?
She didn't run in the Democratic presidential primary in Arkansas.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, she did. Yeah, Arkansas came in. Yeah, she got those high numbers.
You know, I love the balls on this woman. I really do.
On her?
Yeah, because she's 200 delegates behind and already starting to offer Barack Obama the vice president.
Well, it's not over. There are
the vice president position.
There
and
are.
She's 200 delegates behind.
Well, she's not 200 behind.
She's very close at 200 behind.
There are many contests remaining, and the truth is neither Senator Clinton nor Senator Obama.
I'm sorry.
Forget it. I'm not going to talk about it with you. All right. You can have your politics chat with your wife when you go home tonight or somebody else.
I prefer to have it with her than you. All right. Anything else in the news, brother?
Yes. Well, finally, Tim, after speaking on what you said, presidential candidate Barack Obama responded to the idea of a Clinton-Obama ticket.
What?
And he was not too happy about it. Here's some audio of Obama's exasperated response. Oh, 180.
Obama, here we go.
President Bill Clinton. Back in 1992, when he was being asked about his selection for vice president, he said, the only criteria, the most important criteria for vice president is that person is ready. If I fell out
right
in the first week, that he or she would be ready to be the commander in chief.
I did say that.
That was his criteria.
I know. Don't you remind
now,
me.
Now, they have been spending the last 2-3 weeks.
Oh, no.
You remember with that that advertisement with a phone call?
Yeah, that's right.
Getting all the generals to say, well, we're not sure he's ready. I'm ready on day one. He may not be ready yet.
Shut up.
But I don't understand. If I'm not ready, how is it that you think I should be such a great vice president? Do you understand that?
Because we are lying.
Oh, he was saying that was an instant response.
Yeah, I know what's going to happen with these two, but I'm starting to get bored.
It'll be decided before the convention, and it will be.
It's going to be Hillary, you think?
Well, are you going to belch while I try to have this conversation with you? Superdelegates will decide this because both of the candidates will come to the convention. Neither one of them having reached the number of delegates,
right,
pledged delegates needed. So then they have this thing called superdelegates, kind of like the Electoral College, but not really, because superdelegates were created to vote and use independent judgment. They're party elders.
Why were they created? Why don't the Republicans do that?
I don't know, but they were created because...
Maybe they don't trust the voters?
Well, you know, conventions, look, a lot of times in politics all across the country, candidates are picked by parties without any primary. So the party has a right to choose their candidate however they want. And the superdelegates are given this kind of honorary role to look out for the party, to help field the best candidate, and they will vote. And when their votes are counted, along with the pledged delegates, then we'll have a winner.
I think that I've been told.
So when we count all of those votes, then we'll know who the winner is.
Right. All right. But I was told that these superdelegates were created so a guy like McGovern doesn't get in anymore.
Yeah, right. Well, that's
like
just
a far left-wing whack job.
The superdelegates were created to kind of watch out for the good of the party.
Because the voters are not mature enough to pick their own?
Well, because the Democratic Party obviously felt the voters were wrong in picking Senator McGovern in 1972. So what happened was the superdelegates were selected to ensure that the party would put forward its best candidate. And there's nothing wrong with party loyalists or former presidents and vice presidents, statesmen, elders of the party. There's nothing wrong with giving them the role of helping pick the candidate in what is essentially a tie.
It is odd, though, that they don't trust the people voting.
It's not that, well, oh, you mean like in the year 2000 when Al Gore got 500,000 more votes than George Bush? Are you prepared to say to the audience right now that George Bush should have been denied the presidency? After all, if you trust... But,
I'm just talking in the Democratic Party.
No, my friend, I'm talking
about... They have superdelegates.
My friend,
They don't trust... I'm talking about the Democratic Party right now.
Well, I want it to...
Don't change the topic, because it's a really weak arguing position when you always change the topic.
I busted your
argument.
You
do it all the time.
No, I just busted your argument, dude.
No, you do it all the time, dude.
You
change the argument to something else.
I've answered the superdelegates argument.
You split words and you split hairs and all that crap. I'm saying that the Democrats don't trust the people voting in the Democratic Party, so they have to have these, like, noon aides, you know, these superdelegates. These teachers watch over the children so they make the right decision. That's the way I see it. Is that wrong?
I've already told you what my position is. So you have your position. I have mine. Now I'd like to ask a question.
Yes,
you said, oh, they don't trust the voters. They don't trust the will of the voters. So they get these superdelegates to override the will of the voters. That's your suggestion.
Right.
Okay. How then can you possibly have supported, if you are so married to the idea that the will of the voters should prevail, when Al Gore got 500,000 more votes, not one or two or 500.
He won the popular vote.
500,000 more votes than George Bush in 2000. How can you possibly have supported the inauguration of George Bush if you're really that married to following the will of the voters?
If there's anybody else, I would support you. But thank God Al Gore never became president.
Oh, so you admit that your logic's inconsistent.
No. I'm telling you that the Democratic Party...
No, answer my question.
...doesn't trust their voters.
Answer my question about 500,000 more votes for Al Gore.
No, there's a case that Al Gore should have been president. I'll give you that.
And I'm asking you what your answer is. Do you believe he should have?
I believe he probably should have become president of the United States. However, given that... the Democrats don't trust the people in their party, because we talk to them almost every night. And we've talked to these people, you know, when we said, who are you voting for? Obama. And what do you like about him? Well, I like a Social Security program. Well, what is it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he swore in on the Koran. Well, he didn't swear on the Koran.
Well, there's a lot of uninformed.
How many Supreme Court justices are there? I have no idea. How many senators? I have no idea, but I just like Obama.
That's
why they do it. They don't trust their party.
My friend.
Oh, Tim, once again, you are absolutely
thank
right.
Thank you very much.
There are a lot of uninformed voters on both sides, but I would like to point out that it's very interesting to me tonight that after 3 years, I did get you to admit that
it's
George...
It's not 3 years.
What's not 3 years?
The 2000 election.
No. After working with you for almost 3 years,
I said that before.
Brian, please.
I said he's the unluckiest man on the planet. He should have been president. I said Al Gore should have been president. Thank God he never was. I've always admitted that he got more votes. He should have been president. He's the unluckiest man on the planet.
So do you believe George Bush was unduly sworn in?
Well, no, because it was
almost illegally.
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
unfairly?
I mean, you do.
No, I don't.
Sure you do. You wouldn't bring it up unless you did.
Unfair. No.
Do you think George Bush is an illegal president?
No, I don't.
Why would you convince me that I think he is?
Because, Tim...
Well, you'd have to be a moron.
Because... Oh, okay. If you want to call names, you can do that.
Tim, you are a genius,
my man.
Thank
you very much.
What happens is you brought up the will of the voters. While we were talking about the Democratic primary, you brought up the will of the voters versus the superdelegates. So in the context of that argument, this is not difficult to follow. I brought up the will of the voters in the year 2000 versus the Electoral College.
Sure.
That's it.
That's I brought it up to point out a potential inconsistency in your logic. It turns out that you're more consistent than I thought you would be on it.
Thank you very much. The most inconsistent man on the planet is sitting on my left.
That's
if you
not,
want to talk about inconsistency and hypocrisy.
Tim, that's not true. And I am, with all due respect to you, very well informed on all of these issues. I know what's going on. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not inconsistent.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Ask me anything,
okay.
Tim.
If the people, let me ask you, and you answered this before the wrong way. You'll probably answer it again the wrong way as well.
Well, wrong by whose standards?
By most of America.
Oh, yeah.
If this comes down to the superdelegates, right? Should the superdelegates' vote reflect the vote of the people in their district?
Let me again repeat, if you didn't hear it the first time, the superdelegates have they've been charged.
Oh, Brian.
Here it goes. What the definition of is.
Out
of you.
I am telling you that do you know that what the
60% of the people?
I'm going to answer your question.
Let me say it real quickly. This will frame it for you very easy. So the audience, after you give this answer, will realize how filled with hypocrisy you are.
Right.
When let's say that
Tim,
that Los
so
Angeles,
right,
very pleased with this effing
right.
drops.
Let's say that Los Angeles County went 60% to Obama and 40% to Hillary.
Yeah.
Should the superdelegates reflect the vote of the people in Los Angeles and give it to Barack Obama?
In that case, the pledged delegates, based on the vote, will already be dispensed as they were here in Los Angeles with Hillary Clinton getting the majority of them over Senator Obama. Now for the superdelegates. The superdelegates are, by rules, the rules, because the convention comes with rules. The Democratic Committee has rules. The rules are, if you care about what the rules are, that the superdelegates are charged to independently cast their vote and not necessarily follow
the will of the people.
Not necessarily follow what happened in their district in terms of who got the most votes in their district. Just as, my friend, the Electoral College. Members of the electors in the Electoral College have violated the will of the people also. There have been cases where electors voted not for the person that they were supposed to vote for. It happened in 1988. It happened in 1976.
Nobody really cares.
76.
All right, let's say in Chicago, Illinois.
I think it happened in 2004, too.
All right, let's say Chicago. All right, Chicago went about 85% Obama, 15% Clinton. Let's just say that's the number. Uh-huh. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And the delegates have all been dispersed. They've all been, you know, assigned to one of the two.
The pledged delegates.
Yeah. Now, is it proper for the superdelegate who represents that district to give it to Hillary Clinton? Would that be a mistake?
It is proper, in my view, it is proper for the superdelegate in that district.
Would you find it odd if that superdelegate went to Clinton?
You want an answer? Answering.
Would you find that odd?
I'm answering you.
Okay.
In my view, I believe that the superdelegate charged with the rules, the governing rules of the convention and the Democratic National Committee, that the superdelegate should do what superdelegates were created to do. Look out for the party and ensure that the party puts forward in the general election and nominates the strongest candidate. That's what superdelegates do. They are
So to answer your question, it would be okay with you if the superdelegate that represents Chicago, even though Chicago went 85% Obama, 15% Clinton, it would be okay with you if that person overrode the will of the people in Chicago and gave that superdelegate to Hillary Clinton.
If that superdelegate, who is a former vice president or a senator or a congressman or a former president of the Democratic Party who represents the Democratic Party, if that superdelegate believed in his or her heart that the best candidate to beat your Republican Party in November was Hillary Clinton or was Barack Obama, whatever.
No, it was Hillary Clinton.
Okay. If the superdelegate in his or her heart believed that was the best candidate, they should do what the rules dictate they do and use their judgment and vote for that candidate to strengthen the party. Do you follow that? It's very easy to understand.
All right. Well, that's gonna leave the people who voted outraged, right?
In some cases, it may, just as the people...
Which will splinter the party, and it's exactly the opposite effect that it was
just as the
supposed to have.
Just as the Electoral College outrages a lot of people, this might as well. However, maybe it won't come to the superdelegates. Maybe it'll be figured out beforehand.
All right, let me ask you a question that is that is even crazier.
And you should take back all of the really rude things you said about me earlier, suggesting I'm uninformed and don't know.
I didn't say
you
were
uninformed. You're going to break!
Inconsistent and a hypocrite.
You're a hypocrite.
And I'm not a hypocrite.
All right, but let me ask you a question. Let's say 99%...
You're yet to prove that.
...of Barack Obama's hometown. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it's Chicago
right,
or
let's
outside.
Let's say everybody. Say everybody votes for Barack.
Let's say 100% vote for Barack, zero vote for Clinton. Would it still be odd if Hillary Clinton got that superdelegate from that county or that district?
Sure. It might be newsworthy and it might be odd, but
you would support it.
There are rules.
Oh, Bubba.
And if the superdelegate...
Oh, Bubba.
Well, Tim...
Oh, Bubba.
Even my daughter can see it in you.
Tim.
Oh, Bubba.
Do you want to talk about rules or just anarchy? Are there no rules to this? Let me ask you a question now, and maybe I can ask a question.
All right, here we go. All right, let's take a break and then come back. You want to do that?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, just when I'm getting my momentum.
Go ahead.
You know what you're like? You're like the guys in Vegas when you're on a run. They switch out the cards.
No, all right, I won't be like the guys in Vegas. Go ahead. What's your question?
Take the break.
No, what's your question?
I forgot it.
You did?
No, I was going to ask you if you believe that, do you understand the reason the superdelegates were created?
Yes.
Do you understand that they are instructed to use independent judgment?
Yes.
Okay.
But if it doesn't reflect the will of the people, then why have the people vote in the first place?
Independent judgment, the term independent judgment implies that it might not reflect the will of the people.
Then why have the people vote?
For the pledge delegates. Do you know how many...
Why not just give those to the superdelegates too? I mean, if you're going to give the decision to the superdelegates, why not give them all to the superdelegates?
It's a say. The superdelegates have a say in who gets nominated.
I'm telling you, it's going to cause a major problem in this country if Hillary Clinton wins by the superdelegates. I'm just telling you that.
That's the rules, though. The rules.
I know, but do you understand the S-storm that's going to create?
I hope it doesn't come to that. But I'm telling you that there are rules, and you clearly understand the rules. You just said you understand the rules. So... If the superdelegates...
Bad rules, though.
Maybe bad rules.
Right, but was it...
By the way, Electoral College, maybe bad rules. All right, but Tim, those are the rules.
Wasn't the rule that none of the Democrats would campaign in either Michigan or Florida? Wasn't that the rule?
I'm not... I don't know specifically what...
You're lying now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are, sir.
I understand. Tim, I know that you're
Governor Dean.
I know that you're a right-wing.
Had asked everybody.
Republican.
Listen to me, my brother. This is where you don't start attacking the Republicans here.
Don't
adjust your seat, Mr. Squirmy.
Any opportunity you have.
Come on, my brother.
Any opportunity you have.
Didn't Howard Dean ask all the Democrats not to campaign in Florida
and Michigan? Yes.
And didn't Hillary campaign in both states?
I don't know about Michigan. I believe she appeared in Florida.
So she broke the rules.
The Democratic National Convention is saying that the states broke the rules by even having the primaries, by holding the primaries.
She was told not to campaign there, and she broke the rules.
I don't know, honestly, what the specific conversations were between the party and the candidates. I know, Tim, that you hate...
Should you be punished for breaking the rules?
I know that you hate Democrats and you
want to... Should you be punished for breaking the rules?
And you want to make them look bad.
Should you be punished for breaking the rules?
You're a big George Bush Republican, so whenever you have the opportunity to make Democrats look like hypocrites...
Should you be punished for breaking the rules?
Should you be punished for breaking the rules?
No, then why have them?
Well, sure, but it's possible that the primaries... were conducted in violation.
Your blind love of the Clintons is making me want to throw up.
You know what, Tim? This is nothing about the Clintons. What this is about is your radical, rabid right-wing affiliation with the Republican Party and your desire to make Democrats look like hypocrites and frauds and phonies.
It's so easy with you, though.
With me?
Yeah. I can do it on about seven different topics.
Oh, I'm a fraud and a phony.
A hypocrite.
a hypocrite. My friend, you haven't proven that tonight.
You've
never proven that. You'll never prove it.
I proved it in the past.
And anytime you want to argue
with the homeless issue,
anytime you want to debate me, I am more than happy to do it, Tim.
I take
on all comers.
Before 10 o'clock, I will have you saying that yes, I'm Brian Whitman and a hypocrite. All right, we got to take a break. It's Conway Whitman. When we come back, I'm going to prove this man's a hypocrite.
If I'm still here, on live radio. If I'm still here.
In Los Angeles. And most of the people driving around are going to believe that that the case I make is very strong. All right, it's the Conway and Whitman Show. Thank you for the news, Robin. Very interesting.
Oh, that's what was happening.
All right. And we're live at 97.1 Free FM.
From here America Mile in Los Angeles. Robin with the news.